Welcome to the Slow Living Podcast. If you are ready to ditch hustle culture for good while continuing to meet your personal and professional goals, you are in the right place. I'm your host, Stephanie O'Day, and I work with overachievers from all over the world who are ready to stop living life in triage mode and start living the life of their dreams, one filled with abundance, joy, and a sense of purpose. Life is meant to be enjoyed, not endured. Let's get started. Hi there, Slow Down Society. So if you're a fan of the podcast, you're going to absolutely love the book. Slow Living, Cultivating a Life of Purpose in a Hustle-Driven World is now available wherever books are sold. Buy it for yourself, your children, your friends, and your neighbors. You can get all the juicy details at stephanieoday.com/slowlivingbook. Trust me, this is hands down the best $20 you'll ever spend. Hi there, Slow Down Society. Welcome back to another edition of the Slow Living Podcast. We're on episode 222. And in this episode, we're going to wrap it all up. Well, Melissa has essentially wrapped it all up. She's kind of come full circle of knowing what she wanted to achieve in our life coaching sessions and explains how she's gone about achieving them, all in her own words. She's pretty remarkable, and I'm just so proud of her, and I cannot wait to read the book that she is writing of her family history, and I know you will enjoy reading it also now that you know her so well. Okay, without further ado, here's Melissa. When you think of like the ending of an era and then the beginning of the new era, and you had written that that work feels a little easier now and you can keep it confined to those times. I know you are working on the book, and so I want to talk about that in a little bit. But is the overall feeling sometimes that this is too easy, and are you tempted to try and complicate things?
Absolutely. I was actually thinking about that the other day, because I know I've said it here, and it's kind of a joke among my friends. If there aren't rules, I have to create rules. And if it's not difficult, I have to find something to struggle with. And I'm trying to work away from that very hard, but it does feel too easy.
Do you feel like you're in trouble somehow?
Not as much as I used to. Definitely that would have been true a few years ago. In addition to the podcast and the Peace Course, I also do see a therapist regularly. So that helps. But for sure, I'm not busy doing something. That must be bad. I must be in trouble.
Yeah. Okay. So and, you had talked last week about worried about telling your parents that you moved because you still want their approval or permission in some way. And then as far as like the feeling that you might be in trouble if things are too easy or if someone deems that you're goofing off. I know it's gotten better as you age and your parents age and that kind of stuff. But what advice would you give to former Melissa, who spent so much time worrying about this kind of stuff?
I mean, it sounds really cliche, but what's the worst that could happen? Do it this way, and what's the worst that could happen? Because I never really stopped to think, okay, what can they do? You're an adult. You're an adult. If you do this, what can they do?
They're not going to ground you.
Exactly. Because I never thought of specific consequences. It was just always the big word bad. This will be bad. Well, what's the worst that could happen? What's actually going to happen? I never thought about that. I just feared what could happen and never took the time to articulate beyond that.
Yeah. Were you given like the silent treatment? Would they ignore you for a little bit?
Well, there was that. That was more from the older generation. Okay. Not so much my mom, but or my grandmother, but my great great aunt, who had a lot of influence in my life, she would just not talk, or they would withhold attention, they would withhold affection until you were more compliant with the way they wanted you to do things.
Yeah, I can see that. And I'm sorry. It's not a fun feeling. And then you're also feeling like you have to walk on eggshells to try and figure out what the rules are, because you're right. You wanted the rules.
I still want the rules. It's a thing.
It is a thing. Yeah. So I like the phrase, what's the worst can happen? I say that kind of stuff often. I say things like, what are they going to do? Arrest me? Like I know I'm a grown up. You know you're a grown up. If you are choosing to veg out on the couch and watch Netflix, there's nothing wrong with that. The bills are paid. There's milk in the fridge.
I used to have a car, and this is just funny to me. It makes me think of it. It had this little plastic, you know, how cars do not fill in the blank. It had cup holders, or I'm sorry, bottled water holders in the side of the doors, the front, the driver door and the front seat passenger door that said, not for cups. Like basically, they were just to slide bottled waters in. And I'm with my fourth one, and I forget how old she was, not very old. And we're driving around, and I need to move a cup out of the cup holder so she can put something in there. And I reach over and I go to put it in what was clearly designated in the car as a bottled water holder. And she was like, "Mom, you can't put a cup there. That's for bottled water." And I'm like, "I paid for this car. What are they going to do? Come take it from me?" And we both really, really laughed about it. And then took great joy in finding cups that would fit into the bottled water thing in the door. Oh, look, we're breaking the rules again. But I guess hopefully not as badly, but it sounds like from that, I passed that on to my kids somewhat because she was like, "But it says no." And I'm like, "You know what? I really need this space in the console. And we're just going to acknowledge that this is my car and I can put whatever I want in this space, even if it wasn't meant to hold it." Maybe they had that sign there to make sure if your cup spilled, you didn't sue the car manufacturer. Who knows?
Oh, totally. Yeah. Because
I
if
was,
you, yeah, totally. If you put a hot coffee there, yeah, it's, yeah.
and I was never going to sue the car manufacturer. I know I'm the idiot that put the cup where it didn't go, if it's, but it was empty. I mean, if it spills, it spills. But it's funny to me how we do that, how we see the rules and we,
Yeah. So what's coming in my brain is you're being rebellious and it's fun. And so like I wonder if moving forward in some way, how people say, like, well, what would Jesus do? You could be like, well, what would Rebel Melissa do?
exactly. Or what's the worst that could happen? I'll spill this cup and I'll have to clean it up. Well, no, and I hope it makes it into the book because it was just such a demonstration. I mentioned my close friends. We took a cruise when the last of us to get married got married because the bachelorette parties, we'd done everything. So we opted for a cruise. And I'm with a good friend. Two of us are in one room and two of us are in the other room. And I'd never taken a cruise before. And we're doing the drill where you have to put the life jacket on and go out on the deck. And my other friend who's with me, she's taken multiple cruises at this point. And
Yeah.
I'm talking about how wild I'm going to be on this trip. And she's like, "You're not going to be wild." And I'm telling her verbally, I'm telling her, "I'm not going to be, or I am going to be wild." In the meantime, the video on the TV in our room said you have to put the life jacket on before you leave your cabin. And hers was twirling on her finger like this, and I've got mine all buckled in. And so with my hands, as I'm telling her how wild I'm going to be, I'm signaling to her that she really needs to put that life
Yeah.
jacket on. And she told me later, she's like, "And you're getting visibly uncomfortable that I'm not putting it on." She goes, "Because I knew I could just throw it on and step out there because I've been on multiple cruises and I am doing everything just like the video showed me, and she is not." And she's like, "So you're telling me verbally you're going to be wild, but your face and your hand motions are just losing it because I'm not following the rules that you can see on the TV." And
Yeah.
that's a pretty good demonstration of our friendship and our personalities.
Yeah. I think it's great. I love it. I love that you have this group of friends. And what's interesting is I know because I've worked with lots and lots and lots of women, and probably people hearing this have the idea of, I would love to have a group of friends that I could go on a road trip with. I would love to have a group of friends that I could go on a cruise with, but they don't, or they don't allow themselves to have the daydream about it because they think even that is quote unquote breaking some sort of rule, or a good mom or a good person doesn't ditch anybody to do something like that. And So I just want to point out that even just doing that is pretty gosh darn cool. There's a lot of people who do not and wish they could.
Well, they made the difference. That'll probably make its way into the book too. And it's not, there's the four of us, but we have added on. We've got our younger sisters or friends of our younger sisters who now feel like they've always been there, even though I know we didn't want them around when they were our younger sisters. And then we've had one come along who I think we're almost old enough to be her mom, not quite, who is an amazing fit as well. So it's the four of us, but I say that and I'm telling you that, and I'm seeing the faces of the other two. And I'm like, we've kind of expanded since then.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So let's talk about the book then. We spent a lot of time discussing like table of contents and chapter headings, and then also we moved houses. So a lot has happened in a short amount of time. You had said that you would like this done by March 2026. How does that feel now?
I still think it's doable. Again, I have help. Not even just ChatGPT, simply voice to text is amazing for getting things done. And voice to text uses my words and doesn't tell me how to change it or what they would say if they were me, which ChatGPT can be pretty annoying about.
So it's interesting. In my writing, I like those double dashes, and I always have, but now ChatGPT uses them so much that I'm worried that it always looks like I'm using ChatGPT.
I always use the dash, and I'm annoyed because I'm going to have to step away from the dash and use actual commas. And it, like, if I'm writing for school, because I do have the degree and I'm a grant writer, that's all different. I'm all about the dash. I'm sorry, the commas, semicolons. But when I'm just writing for fun, I like my dashes. And
I love dashes. Yeah. All my newsletters are filled with dashes. And I'm like, well, now everybody just is going to think that I use ChatGPT for everything. Yeah. When you say March 26, is this the shoveling sand into the sandbox first draft version by March 26, or is this super polished?
That part I'm not sure about. I'm giving myself permission to have it be that, maybe the shoveling sand, maybe the polished draft, maybe somewhere in between. I'm giving myself a menu of options of what it could be. Again, the ADHD brain, I have found if I give myself hard and fast rules, I won't do anything. But if I give myself three or four options, this is true of my morning routine. This is true of free time. Like, you could do this, this, or this. And I do have to have choices or I will do nothing.
Yeah.
But if I and I will also do nothing if it has to be this.
Yeah.
So a menu of options, which is not unique to me. I saw it somewhere on YouTube, but a menu of options of what I could do as much as I can allow that in my life is helpful. So we'll see. It should be readable, whether that's a draft that people are helping me edit, whether that's something really polished, I don't know yet. It should be readable. And that's as far as I'm committing myself to.
Yeah, I agree with that. My brain would want you to have a rough draft. And if anything is better or different than that, that's fine. It still counts. And then as far as word count, all of that kind of stuff, are you giving any rules to any of that?
None.
Okay. That sounds wonderful. I'm excited for you. When you're writing, are you in a flow state where it just feels so good? It's just super fun.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Do you have a just for anyone listening, if they want to write, do you have a routine to get into that flow state, or does it just sort of come over you?
It just sort of comes over me, but I do have to make myself sit down and do
Yeah.
it, if that makes sense. So that part of, because I'll be like, oh, I'm not feeling it. I've got to go find 6 million different things to reorganize in the house, which is so easy right now because it's a new house. And maybe I want it to look like this. Oh, maybe, you know what? That pantry's not working. I'm going to go re. So I have to make myself sit down, or I will find literally anything else to do to not focus. But once I sit down, it's easy.
Okay. All right. Well, Melissa, from my point of view, it sounds like things are going really well. I don't think I mean, do you feel like you're a work in progress, or do you feel like, okay, I'm actually feeling, quote unquote, at peace right now?
Well, I feel like I've been a work in progress for way too long. And I mean, none of us ever are a finished product. So I know I will stay a work in progress, but it feels a lot less like work these days.
Yeah, that's got to be super gratifying. Yeah. When you and your husband had done the kind of like travel bucket list type activity, as you move forward in years to come, are you going to start scheduling them out?
We're going to have to, because otherwise, just like I have to make myself sit down before I will do a thing that I really want to do, we will have to schedule them. Otherwise, they won't happen.
Okay. And then as far as revisiting this, do you have a plan in place, like a regular date night or State of the Union meeting that you guys do together, or are they just
It's not habitual yet. We're working on it, for both, but we both acknowledge it's important. I mean, with only one kid in the house who is 16 and wants very little to do with us most of the time, just having as much time one-on-one in the house still kind of is novel and still kind of feels a little bit like date night after so many years of so many little kids and so many commitments. And we're still involved in some of our extracurricular. We're still very involved in the youth organizations with the girls and with the boys. I say that, and then I realize people could hear this podcast and be like, wait a minute, isn't he still the state dad? He is, and he's doing his state dad duties. But we have a lot more downtime and a lot more alone time just living our lives than we ever have previously.
Yeah. Do you feel free?
I mean, not completely, but a lot freer than I imagined possible, I guess, when the kids were younger. I used to, the first weekend in August, for a few years in a row, take a vacation with girlfriends, and it just felt like such a necessary thing to escape from the four and then, well, and then the five little kids. And now I think it's funny that I ever felt like I needed that escape, because now I want them to come back home.
Yeah.
But I do acknowledge that that was, you know, I did need those escapes back at that time.
Yeah. Yeah. It's wonderful. It's remarkable that you're able to have that feeling and then also look back and acknowledge and honor the decades of struggle to get you from there to here now. As you age and then your parents age, do you know that you're going to have to step at some point into a caregiver role for them?
I do. I'm not sure what that looks like, because my immediate younger sister is a nurse.
Okay.
So there's things that she is more qualified than I am to speak to and to deal with. My youngest sister, and she'd argue this, but it's true, has a much closer relationship with, especially with my mom, than I do. So I don't know, is my caregiving as welcome as my two sisters, with whom she appears to have a better relationship? Although if you had my sisters sitting here next to me, they would point out to you the many ways in which they also have a difficult relationship with her, but she does call them daily and weekly. And that's not a thing that she does with me. And I know they interact with my dad a lot more than my dad interacts with me. And I'm okay with those things. I just don't know what my part will be because of the dynamic.
Okay. Okay. That's interesting. And I'm glad that you also have a therapist that you can unpack some of that with. So, I mean, you can look at it in two ways, that relief that you don't need to do it or feeling like shunned.
I don't feel shunned because a lot of the distance I put in place, and I know that. At the same time, my parents aren't easy. And I don't want to be like, oh, well, they love the two of you more than me. There you go. Have fun. I definitely don't want to leave that to my sisters. I feel like I have responsibility as one of their daughters in there as well.
Okay.
And definitely I want to be a good sister to my two sisters. I want to support them.
So as you and Greg kind of map out potential travel in the next decade or so, and depending on health, maybe you're front loading some of the more active vacation or travel, will taking care of them or being around factor in, or do you think you'll be able to just be supportive via phone or monetary or something like that?
I mean, we'll see what that looks like. Right now, my parents are the ones doing all the traveling. So they're still in pretty good health and enjoying the traveling, as they were at the gathering last weekend. And my mom got in the pool with us. So I'm suddenly very aware, as I've tried not to be for the last six sessions, that people are going to hear this. And so it's not hopeless with my mom or my dad. They just are closer to my younger sisters. I don't know what that looks like, but I would definitely not leave my sisters with that, nor would I want my parents to think at the later stages in their life that I don't love them and I'm not there.
Oh, right. No, absolutely. Absolutely. No, I get it. It must also be kind of neat to see that they're older than you and they're still pretty active. And I mean, getting into a swimming pool in what, your late 70s? I mean, that doesn't happen in many families.
My dad didn't do it, but my mom was excited to do that.
Yeah. Well, good.
So, and again, they travel. They have a pretty good quality of life still. And my dad only just retired maybe 18 months ago.
Oh, wow. Okay.
He loved his job.
Okay. Well, good. Okay. So moving forward, I know I still get to see you once a month for the Peace course. Is there anything that we haven't covered or anything that you feel like, I'm really going to kick myself that we didn't talk about?
I mean, I don't think so. When I started the Peace course and we had our first call, and it was a long time ago, which doesn't feel like it. And it had to have been, just thinking in terms of my daughter's schedule, 2022, maybe, because she was just about to take on her big role with the youth organization. And you talked, well, you were like, just write. That's what you need to do, is you just need to write. And then we had a lot of things, a lot of mental health struggles in the family, my own and some of my extended family. And everything just felt like it got completely thrown off what you and I had a lovely phone call about. I never did the second phone call because I kept saying, things are going to calm down and then I will actually have something to report back to Steph. And then they never really did calm down. And when I saw the opportunity come up to do coaching sessions, if I was willing to put myself out there, I thought, okay, well, that's how I will pull all of this back together. And I had made some of the changes incrementally that we had talked about. So anyway, all of that to say, I feel like this has come full circle because now I'm writing and I've walked through all the things I didn't see coming between that first phone call and when we began working together 6 weeks ago.
Yeah. It's interesting when you start on a journey and a path and you can't see the end and you just have to kind of trudge along and trust that you'll get there when you get there. So since people really like a definitive before and after, and I know you're probably before and after has perhaps maybe taken longer than you wished. Do you feel like there's, oh yeah, that was before I did this and now I'm here?
Well, when we talked, I had a job that I kept because it let me take my kids to work with me during the summer, which at the time was very needed. And I loved the job, and it let me do my teaching thing, which I loved, and I let me write grants, which I loved. But it was a lot. It was a long commute, and it was a facility. So if the security alarm went off in the middle of the night, that was me that had to get out of bed and drive 25 minutes because 40 is with traffic. So at 4 in the morning, it's about 20, 25 minutes to see what the source of the break-in was. If there was a break-in, a lot of times it was just like somebody breaking a window and then running off because the alarms went off and they weren't expecting that. But I no longer have to get out of bed or suspect it might happen. I walk into my job, I research and write and follow up with grant deadlines. I'm totally focused on my favorite aspect of my first job or my earlier job. And when I leave the office at 5, I'm done for the day. There are facilities involved, but that's not in my wheelhouse. And I'm working in my hometown, which I had always wanted to do, supporting an organization in my hometown that's always been near and dear to my heart. So the job got easier. I was at the beginning of walking my daughter through what was going to be a very committed and very busy year. That's over. And she's in college now and doing her own thing. I still had several of the kids at home when we visited. And I've just got the one that's 16 and really should still be here. And everyone else is close by for the moment. I know that won't last forever, but they're doing their own thing and the relationships are good. And so, it's been a long journey and there were so many parts that were very, so not pretty when we weren't visiting, except I was coming in on the call and usually not turning my camera on. And sometimes if we were talking about things that I was walking through at the time, maybe not putting my fingers in my ear and singing la, 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 but wishing I could, like, oh, this is hard stuff. And so, it's been a good journey and that's very appropriate, even though I can't believe I'm sitting here for all of the podcast world to hear. I think it's appropriate that we're wrapping this up in a good place.
Yeah. I'm proud of you. Yeah. Listening to tender things when, or things when you're feeling tender is hard. And I'm proud of you for those years to keep showing up to the peace calls. So since you've done therapy and have done coaching, since people don't understand the difference, how would you explain it in your words?
My therapist helps me process the difficult things, work my way through them. And life coaching is more of a direction you want to take with your life overall.
Yeah, that's essentially what I say too. Yeah, well, good.
And I've always
I'm glad it at least feels that way.
and you have always been very transparent in the podcast. I am not a therapist. If you need one, please get one. And I did. I mean, there were other factors contributing to that, but I've always known the difference, and my therapist thought it was great that we were doing this, and she knows the difference too.
Yeah. Well, very cool. All right, Melissa, before we log off, well, first off, would you be comfortable, willing, interested in coming back in 6 months or a year and doing a recap?
Absolutely.
Okay. That would be fun. All right. Do you have any final thoughts or words?
I'm not great with final thoughts or words. I will leave that to you.
Okay. Well, I think you are amazing and wonderful and kind. So I'm going to hit end recording and then you stay on the line. Okay, that ends the final episode that we recorded together with Melissa. So thank you for listening. Thank you for being here. We are now in a brand new calendar year. You're listening to my words and we are in 2026, which is pretty remarkable. So it's been a good 5 months since Melissa and I recorded these sessions. I still get to see her once a month in our Simple Shortcuts to Peace calls. And she's continued to share. It's really interesting that in this call, she talks about how in the past peace call, she really wanted to pay attention to the kind of decluttering process that another Peace Course participant had talked about. And so that has really spurned her and her husband along when it comes to decluttering and simplifying their lives because they don't want to burden their children with their stuff as they age. We also touched upon being the sandwich generation, that her parents are still alive and she knows she's going to perhaps maybe need to take care of them in a larger capacity. Her sister is a nurse, so her sister will take over lots of the medical things, but the emotional it weighs on you and it's heavy. And if you too are in that sandwich generation, please know that you're not alone. And there's a lot of people out there and lean on them. Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for starting another calendar year with me and with a podcast. If you have any questions at any time, reach out to me. I'm a real person. I'll get back to you. I'm at steph@stephanieoday.com. There are 220 other episodes. I often leave past episodes for you to listen to. For today, just scroll back. If something catches your eye, listen with fresh ears and an open mind. Okay, pretty people, consider yourself loved and hugged. Be back in your earbuds next week. If you are ready to start living slowly and ditch the hustle mindset for good, reach out to me. I'm a real person and you can track me down online at stephanieoday.com. Also, if you found value in this podcast, please share it with your family and friends and tag me on Instagram at Stephanie O'Day. While you're at it, go ahead and leave a positive review on your favorite podcast app. The more we share, like, the more people we can reach and share the slow down lifestyle and messaging. Thank you, Slow Down Society, and have a great day.